And welcome back to the Splitting Hairs podcast presented by Jackrabbit Illustrated. Another special edition coming at you tonight. I know we typically keep it in the athletic arena, but we're just branching out a little bit tonight. I am joined tonight by the president and CEO of the SDSU Foundation, Steve Erpenbach. So, Steve, how the heck are you?
Matt, I'm doing great. Appreciate the opportunity. I'm glad you're shaking it up a little bit and you include me in that. I did see Justin last week and he's a tough act to follow, but I'll do my best.
Yeah, you know, he was sporting the baby blue, which, you know, last week was pretty controversial. So,
well, he had that. I do have my bold and blue branded material on, but I couldn't top the uniform he was wearing last week.
Yeah. You know, I think if you guys start selling those baby blue jerseys, I think, you know, that'd be a good fundraiser for you.
I think so.
Well, hey, I just wanted to have you on just to talk about some of the stuff that's happening on campus right now. I know I was back for the WNIT a couple weeks ago for the championship and walked around with my kids and stuff. And, you know, it hasn't been that long since I've been there, since I worked there at SDSU. Yeah. And I was just amazed by the changes that have taken place in the last few years. So give us an update. What are some of the things that have happened on campus maybe in the last couple of years?
It's really been an amazing transformation. If you go back the last couple of years, and it's always the Alumni Association will do a 50-year reunion. They'll have people back for their 50th class. And some people have not been back for a while. I can't imagine what it's like. But even you could be gone for a couple of years and just you're amazed by what's going on. But just in the last couple of years, the Raven Precision Agriculture Center and off of Stadium Drive is just an amazing addition up there. The American Indian Student Center is just a really unlike any other building on campus. The Oscar Larson Performing Arts Center, that was 3 years ago when that was opened. And of course, you know, it's been interrupted a little bit with COVID, but they're back at it now. It is a facility that is unlike any other in this region. And then even something like the Harding Hall, which they is now the NEST School of Management and Economics. They did a wonderful job in renovating and reinvigorating that building. And there's more to come. It's really remarkable. There's been a great master plan that was put in place, and they're really sort of those pieces are all coming together right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Larson Performing Arts Center, and I'm sorry, my internet's a little laggy or something tonight, but the Larson Performing Arts Center, I was there for Chicago, right? So I took my mom to that. Yeah. We got tickets for when that opened, and that was really cool because you remember this. That was something that my campaign ran on for Student Association was to get the phase two of the Performing Arts Center done. And we talked about higher ed being a slow turning ship sometimes. We talked about that with Justin. And again, yep, that was 10 years down the road since we first introduced that. So
yeah,
so that was pretty cool.
And it was, we had people that when they were there for Chicago, you got this Broadway show and people just, when they were inside, they felt like they were on Broadway. I mean, the experience that we now have on our campus for those kinds of shows is just unbelievable. And there was a tremendous vision and foresight, and it took a while to get it done, but they did it right. And I think that's what's really important.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, I want to just throw this out there to anyone watching or anyone listening. If you have questions, let us know. I have some questions prepared and stuff, but it's always fun to see what's on your mind as well. So throwing that out there. The Raven Precision Ag Center, I actually get to be in that for the first time this week. On Friday, I'm helping with state FFA officer interviews. The blue plague is coming to campus this week or over this weekend. So I'm really excited for that, just to check out the building. And there's a student that is in, you know, the place where I live now, Appleton, Minnesota, and he's heading SDSU next year for Precision Ag. And he's just pumped. He toured, and I mean, he knew right away, like, that's where he had to go.
You know, and it's really, I think there's a kind of a common theme with us in fundraising, where really the vision that's been shown by leaders, and this was really Lou Brown, the former dean of engineering, the Lohr College of Engineering, and Barry Dunn, when he was dean of the College of Ag Bio at that point in time, were the ones who really put that together. We were the first in the country to have a four-year precision ag degree. And then the building that came about, certainly with Raven stepped up, South Dakota Corn, and other stakeholders to make that happen. It's a remarkable addition to campus and is continuing to attract students that we probably wouldn't get otherwise. Mm-hmm. It's been all around. It's just been a huge win for SDSU.
Okay. And so folks, if you're not familiar, if you haven't been to campus in a while, this building is like right to the north of the Dairy Barn, south of Animal Science, to the west of Northern Plains Biostress, or maybe I'm dating myself with that name for that now. Yeah. McFadden Biostress, right?
Yeah. If you just say north of the Dairy Bar, everyone's gonna know where to go. If these, yeah. these Dairy Bar is the barometer.
Yep. Yep. Awesome. I bet. And I don't know if you know this, Steve, but one of my favorite memories of my time on campus was giving the tour to one of the 50-year reunions, and it happened to be Jerry's year as well.
Oh.
When he was Jerry Lohr, who's from my home area of Clark, that was when he was trying to raise funds for the Hobo Day Gallery and the Bumblebee case and stuff. So that was pretty neat. Yeah. That was my favorite tour of when I was an ambassador.
I'll tell you, one of the real amazing projects going on right now is Lincoln Hall, which of course some people remembered it as the library. I remember it as Lincoln Music Hall. That's being renovated now. It's going to be the new home for the College of Arts, Humanities, and Social Sciences, as well as the School of American and Global Studies. It's under renovation right now. We went through it a few weeks ago. It is spectacular. I mean, you think of how beautiful that is when you go into what we kind of know as Peterson Recital Hall. Mm-hmm. They had covered up the skylights. The skylights are opened up, so you're going to have that natural light in there. They put more windows in there. It will be, I think, the showpiece of people coming back, because so many people had fond memories of it for different reasons. But it's repurposed and reused now for the College of Arts, Humanities, and Social Sciences. It'll be a place that anyone doing a campus tour, they're going to want to go in and see what they have done. Historic preservation of it. They've done it the right way. And university deserves a lot of credit for not giving up on that building.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's awesome. That's one of my favorite buildings on campus.
Yeah.
So it's just because of the details, you know, they don't make buildings like that anymore that are just,
they don't.
So very cool. What else? Any new updates or remodels that are, you know, soon to start happening?
Yeah, I think as you know, Justin covered last week with First Bank and Trust Arena, the Frost Arena renovation. And they will start that shortly after commencement. And really just remarkable. You think about that gift from First Bank and Trust Arena was made in the middle of September. And to be able to get it through the Board of Regents and get it to the state legislature to be able to raise enough money to be able to go ahead with it now was just probably one of the most remarkable things I've seen. And I've been here 17 years now, but the response by donors to be able to move that forward is just incredible. But we're probably close to done. Probably a lot of our construction stuff, a lot of that happened in the last campaign. There will always be some things going on. Kind of the other one on the radar is the barn. People would love to find a reuse for the barn, and so that is that's maybe one that happens sometime in the future. But that again is another building that holds a lot of fond memories for people, and is just spectacular when you walk in there. But it's a matter of finding the money to be able to repurpose and renovate that space.
Oh, for sure. That was always, you know, my dream. I said, if I won the lottery, I'd put the windows back in the barn.
Yeah.
I don't know it for its glory. I've seen the pictures and stuff of when it was packed for basketball games. But it was always fun just to go in there and play basketball and stuff when I was on campus. So man, that'd be amazing.
Keep playing that lottery. We'll get it done.
Hey, there we go. Teardowns. There's a significant teardown that I know a lot of folks, you know, may have had class or may have lived there. What's that?
So we've had a number of residence halls that have been kind of repurposed into offices. And I talked about sort of Harding Hall, but Scobie Hall is going to be torn down probably in May. And it has been vacated for a couple of years ago and probably not the greatest building. They certainly have moved those offices more towards the central part of campus. And so they are going to tear that down. It'll be green space, at least for now, until they decide what happens there. But yeah, Scobie will come down and you always worry about that, about some alums that, you know, that live there and being the ones that don't want to see anything happen to it. But I think people understand it's time. It's served the university really well. And certainly progress happens. And so that'll happen when you come back in May.
Okay. Didn't President Dunn live there?
I don't know if President Dunn did. I think Jerry Lohr did. And I've heard from a few others that have lived there, but they don't talk about it with the same kind of a high degree of affection. I think Jim Wooster might have lived in Scobie, but even Jim's supportive of it. So I think that's probably a pretty good barometer. If it's okay with Wooster, it's okay by us.
Hey, there we go. Awesome. You know, you mentioned the past campaigns have focused so much on building and you know, renovating a lot of the spaces. You announced within the last year, right? The Bold and Blue campaign.
Correct. We did.
What's some of the focus and the priorities of that?
Yeah, it's really excited about it. So we went public during Hobo Week last year. And so we announced a $500 million goal, or a half a billion, which sounds a lot higher. But we started really this planning in 2017. So we're actually in our fifth year of it, but it was in the leadership phase where you put together, the leadership you need, you put together leadership gifts, and you're really testing to find out how enthusiastic people are about what you have. Like the last campaign was very focused on a lot of infrastructure, a lot of capital projects, and certainly in engineering, the health sciences, ag, really addressed that because that was the need. This one is very people focused. It's really about growing the number of scholarships that we award, endowing scholarships. Something we're having great traction on is endowed faculty positions. When President Dunn, for a little bit of context, when President Dunn came back and he was an endowed director down at the King Ranch at Texas A&M system, and he was the fifth person when he came back. He was the endowed dean by South Dakota Corn of the College of Ag Bio. He was the fifth one we had on campus. We have now, we have commitments in place for 47 of those positions, everything from endowed deans to endowed directors, to endowed chairs, people who do research in leadership roles. And they're really critical to be able to recruit really top talent to South Dakota State, because there's a tremendous stature that goes with it, but there's also resources that come with them to support research. So that has been really a big driver of our campaign. There are some capital projects, certainly Frost Arena is one of them, that has certainly gotten a lot of attention and deservedly so. We're also looking at some of our traditions. We're trying to grow some endowments to sustainable funding for things like the Pride of the Dakota, Little International, the Hobo Day Committee. And so it's just, there's, I think, something for everybody in there, but it really has been, it's going to be a transformational campaign, just given our the growth in endowments, which again is that it really is a sign of strength, because it really allows you to sustain rather than having to raise money every year. It's a sign that there's sustained revenue that comes in to support scholarships, programs, and other parts of the university.
Yeah, Steve, can I ask what is the endowment at now for SDSU?
Great question. When we started this campaign, it was about $105 million. We're right now at $230 million. So it's more than doubled. And that's really important, I think, in our last campaign, because we were so focused on building buildings, which was really important. Probably didn't make as much headway on our endowment, but we're pleased where we're at. Would love that to be $300 million plus by the time we get done with the campaign. So that's a big focus.
Wow, that's phenomenal. Hey, we have a comment that I missed here from Tammy Jungen. The barn holds memories for me of racquetball, engineering, volleyball tourneys, and concerts, she clarified. I think that's a lot of people. Lots of good memories there.
It is. And hopefully Tammy's playing the lottery too. But it is. And that is one of those things. I mean, when you walk in, it is a beautiful building. You talk about those windows in front, I think would kind of capture the imagination of people, but it remains on our list and it's near and dear to a lot of people.
Yeah. Awesome. I just had to ask on that, on the Blue and Bold campaign, because yeah, like I think that's a really cool priority with the scholarships. Any legislative updates this year on the scholarship piece? I know that was something that was going to have some attention with it this year.
Yeah, and it was really great. It was really sort of led by First Premier Bank, Dana Dykhouse, Miles Beacom, Denny Sanford, for a Freedom Scholarship, which is a need-based scholarship. We were the last state, I believe, that had a need-based scholarship. And so put about $100 million into it. The state of South Dakota put $50 million. And then there were the health systems, Avera and Sanford, each put $12.5 million. So we've received the first money that came, but it is really for those students that otherwise they just their family contribution, their other financial position, they just would not be able to afford without a need-based scholarship. They can get academic scholarships on top of that, but that's really important for us to continue to build on that, because we are a land grant. It is about access. And we take, really, I think the university will take a student gets an 18 ACT and they are welcome at South Dakota State. They'll be accepted there. And a lot of those turn out to be tremendous students, but it's giving them that opportunity, giving them the chance. And so that need base, those students that wouldn't be able to make it for any other reason, that's what is going to make a huge difference in our state. I think the President Dunn has showed tremendous leadership with his Wikini initiative, which is members of any of the nine tribes, the reservations in South Dakota, provides money for them to be able to access a higher education. My understanding is they'll probably have more than 100 students coming in next year's freshman class. Wow. And this was a signature, initiative by the president once he was inaugurated. And we're now starting to see those first students who came in a few years ago graduating. It is really a tremendous story, and it's going to take a while. The university has a long-term commitment to it, have built a really substantial endowment. Again, the American Indian Student Center is a place, give them a sense of place. It's really a great story, and it's really the inspiration of President Dunn, who talked about his mom and who was a Native American who had an opportunity to access a higher education, ended up going to Iowa State. But he talked about that her experience lifted his entire family. And so it's great to see that working.
Yeah. His inauguration was something that was pretty neat out on Sylvan Green and with the different tribes, nations there. That was pretty cool. So I'm glad at this point, because he's been president now for 8 years, 7 years?
2016. So 6 years.
6 years. Okay.
Yeah.
The follow through. I mean, this is everything that he told us that he was interested in when he interviewed, I remember. And just the fact that it's now become reality, those first students are set to graduate. That's just incredible. So
He talked about, he just felt that it was his opportunity if he was in that position as president of this university. He wanted to use it for something. And, his vision for that, and again, he started that right away, is just incredible. I mean, he believes that this is going to make a difference. He understands that there are some challenges. But when you have over 100 students coming in next year's freshman class, it shows that it's really starting to catch on, and he deserves a tremendous amount of credit for the vision and the toughness to be able to push that forward.
And I do want to also piggyback off of, you know, that you mentioned that we're still a land grant. We're all about access, right? And that's, I really have always loved that about President Dunn. He makes that joke about asking some land grants to turn in their card, their land grant card, because they become so selective in who they take. And I just really appreciate that he understands the true mission that was behind the Morrill Act. So
really cool story about him too, is he's genuine, and he is as South Dakota through and through as you could be. And we've had a great fortune of a couple of different occasions where there's been some eighth grade students from Sioux Falls Middle School students who have visited campus. One time they were able to come up for the South Dakota State, North Dakota State football game, which was a great experience for him. It was a beautiful day and huge crowd. And there was another time there were some students that came up from McGovern Middle School. And so they brought him in, and they were showing him the campus. They're trying to elevate their thinking in terms of I could make it at South Dakota State. I could be here someday. And these are students that are, from a poverty standpoint, who would have some challenges. Very diverse population, and they got to have lunch with President Dunn, and so they're having pizza, and he comes over and he introduces himself and he says, "Hello, my name is Barry and I work here." He didn't say he was president of the university or anything, but he just made them really very comfortable in terms of their them being there, because he wants them to be thinking 4 or 5 years from now. I want you to, if you're not going to be at South Dakota State, I want you to think you could be on a higher education campus somewhere.
Oh, man, that's cool. We could keep telling President Dunn stories all night, but that's a good one. I like that one a lot. I'll save that one. I'll save my other story for some other time. So kind of shifting gears again, with the alumni and with the foundation, what events do you have coming up that folks can maybe get excited for?
Well, they're right in the middle now. The Alumni Association started a number of years ago, Jack's Give Back, and great opportunity for them to be able to try to get alums all over the country to be able to do something to give back to their community. And so it really is what anyone finds is an opportunity to get together with Jackrabbits in their area. And be able to do worthy things for the community. And it ranges from going to a school and reading to kids to community cleanup projects. And the Alumni Association has been just tremendous in terms of leading that and re-engaging with alums. We'll both have meetings and with our coming up, our Council of Trustees, who 100 of our most dedicated and frankly, best advocates for us. Will be on campus here in about 10 days, and the Alumni Association board will be on campus as well at the same time. And then getting into the summer with the golf events, I don't have the date, but there's another Twins night, SDSU night at the Twins, and that has been really great to get into that market. People just love the response. They've had weather issues. I think the first year there was a delay. But that's really been a great partnership with the Twins, and I know the people who live up in that Twin Cities area love having SDSU people coming, and people love going up. If they're going to see a Twins game, that tends to be the one that they want to see. So there's a lot of activity. In September, we'll be working. Alumni Association will help us with this too, but the One Day for State, which is an opportunity in September where for 24 hours we're raising money and continuing to find that giving people an opportunity to give back. We see a lot of students participating in One Day for State. So we're really excited, gearing up for that. I mean, we're just now putting the wraps on this semester, but we're already thinking about the summer. We're thinking about the fall. It is going to be, and then you get into football season. It's just going to be incredible.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited for one event you missed that's coming up, is the virtual 5K is here in April this month. So I still have yet to run it. I'm waiting for it to get a little bit nicer, but I have to do the 5K. And then I got my kids, they're going to do like a mile race. We'll see if they make it that far or not. But
And you actually have to run it. You have to run it. Even though it's virtual, you got to run it.
Right? And then the book club, right? The book club this summer too.
Yeah, Rabbit Readers. I mean, again, I think they found some really alumni associations found some really interesting ways to kind of build that community where, you know, again, if people can be at events, that's great. But I think finding other ways to for people to participate, engage with other alums, I think it's really important. It's kind of the world we live in. I mean, take advantage of that connectivity. And so whether it's through a book, whether it is the virtual 5K, whether it is Jack's Give Back, you know, just reminding people about what a special place this is. And it brings back those great memories about, you know, about being a jackrabbit and what this place, what this university did for the success they had in life and in their career.
Yeah, let's just go back just for a second here. Tammy made a really good comment here. The open access of SDSU really helps make the students shine. I've been to many campuses throughout the country, and the quality of the students and alumni are second to none. And of course, the staff, professors, and educational support. So thanks, Tammy. We like hearing
that. I'll tell you one quick story about it. We hear so many people who give. I mean, we get to work with donors, and you hear the stories about why they give. And probably one of the best stories I ever heard, we had lunch with a couple out in Western South Dakota. And the gentleman had shared that when he was at South Dakota State, he was really kind of upper middle class family. His family lived not far from McKinnon Park in Sioux Falls. His dad was a business manager of a business, ended up losing his job. And he talked about there was one day he got a call and his check for tuition had bounced just based on the family circumstances. So he got summoned over to the registrar's office and trying to figure out what he could possibly do to stay in school. And there was a person who worked there, a woman who worked there. He doesn't know her name, but she was trying to help him try to figure out how do you, you know, here's how, let's try to solve this, trying to help brainstorm a little bit. She said, there is a small scholarship I know available in ROTC if you would sign up for ROTC. He went over there. It was modest, but it was enough to keep him in school. Went on to have a very successful career in as an airline pilot. Now, fast forward a number of years, he's given scholarships. He and his wife are giving scholarships. They have done their estate plan includes South Dakota State. And so you think about just the twist of fate. I mean, if that person who was working there that day had maybe was having one of those days and just decided, I can't help you, you've got to figure it out. But she was the one that figured out how we could get this done. So not only did he go on to have a really successful career because there was somebody who cared about him at that point, was helping him, you know, come up with a solution. And now he's giving back. And you hear those stories about advisors and professors and other people who meant so much for him and meant so much to him. And a lot of times at really challenging times that they're maybe in their career, they're maybe at a crossroads and in their school time. And then they remember that. I mean, they remember all the other things, going to football games and everything, but there's always a story about a person or two who took that extra effort and made all of the difference in terms of their, what, you know, became the rest of their college career and then propelled them forward in their profession. So, I agree with Tammy. There's a lot of special people and at all levels, that sort of make, South Dakota State so great.
It's pretty funny. That's another phenomenal story. Jeepers. And I think VJ needs to work on a second book, like College on the Hill, second stories or something like that. Volume two. We have some friends who do this vlog and podcasting on the national scene. They're the FCS podcast is what they're called. And they actually came to a game this last fall in Brookings. Our fans went on and they had to vote about which game they should go to. And they ended up coming to Brookings. And it's two young guys. They're 23, 24 years old. And we're just blown away by the hospitality. They're from the East Coast. And just how much everyone, you know, was caring about everyone, making sure everyone was fine and good, and the tailgating, there was no confrontations, even though it was the NDSU game.
Yeah.
And, you know, and just so it's a pretty special place. Pierre talked about that 2 weeks ago when he was on for, we were talking about the draft, and he said when he came to his campus visit that the players he was hanging out with, or the host players, you know, were just leaving their cars in their vehicle and stuff. And he's like, what are you doing? You don't leave your cars in your vehicle or your keys in your car. Yeah. So, yeah.
So I don't, and not only have to follow Justin Sell, I'm also following Pierre Strong, huh?
Yeah. Hey, did you see Mel Kiper?
I saw that.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. I really hope we hear his name called early.
Yeah. A lot of great buzz on him.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, so now that we've kind of hopped back into the athletic arena, we talked a little bit about right before we started tonight, you got here in 2004, right?
Correct. Yep. Yeah.
All right. And so you've really seen kind of the transition from the dark days to where we're at now. So talk about that a little bit.
Well, I Barry and President Cheekwin would always give so much praise to Peggy Miller. I mean, for her ability to get that through, there was obviously a lot of resistance in the state about that idea. And of course, we were the leader. I mean, so we were first and obviously had to go through there. But I just don't know. And again, I understand people were skeptical because you just didn't quite know. And I don't know if you could have written a script kind of like what we've had in terms of the success at, you know, at so many levels. I mean, in NCAAs and so many different sports. But I can't imagine this university without, you know, without that move. You know, what it has done is it is certainly, there's a level of pride among people around the country about, you know, you think of you mentioned the WNIT and being on campus for that. And you think about playing, you know, Pac-10, SEC or Pac-12, SEC, you know, Big East, taking on those, you know, Alabama and all those kind of teams, and what our men's basketball team have done, what our softball team has done, what football has done, it is just remarkable. And I think it's kind of indicative of all the success that we've had. I think a lot of it, you know, you can just say it's kind of thing with scholarships is, if you have a really strong vision and you have a plan for how you're going to get there, you know, there's no telling you what we can accomplish. And I think that, you know, we have a $500 million goal in a campaign. We wouldn't be thinking that. We wouldn't even be approaching that if it weren't for sort of people like Peggy Miller and others that really sort of elevated and made us believe we can do this. Mm-hmm. And you just talk about, we've done it the right way. You know, our student athletes, and you just look at the numbers of what they have done in the classroom, what they do in the community. And, you know, we've got South Dakota student athletes that still have those opportunities, which was one of the fears that they wouldn't. I mean, it is just an unmitigated, it's just such the biggest success you can imagine. And I, you know, I couldn't be more proud as an alum, and frankly, couldn't be happier as somebody who is involved in an organization that's trying to raise money. Because it is just raised the sights of our alums and friends and companies that want to be associated with us, because we, you know, that was a big, bold vision. And that's part of the reason our campaign is bold and blue is we have been bold. We're going to continue to be bold. And this is a blue state. So it has been, it's just been great to watch. And it's just been an amazing example of just that big vision of some people that just believed we could do it.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite quotes that I think gets shared every year at the foundation banquet when she's recognized is from General Williamson, right? And it's the lead, follow, or get out of the way.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And talking about that transition from D2 to D1. So that's just a very cool line and cool story, and the folks that were visionary of it. Yep. I remember, you know, the college game day, right? And when that came to campus and getting to talk to President Miller when she came through the tailgating lot and stuff, and she's like, I told them we'd do that. So yep. That was pretty great.
Yeah.
From Scott Russ, there's so much pride being an SDSU alum. Absolutely, Scott. Yes. So good. So one of my favorite memories, and we went through the WNIT stuff with Justin last week, but was obviously around this time last year down in Frisco, and the alumni event, you know, the day before. You know, I think for everyone that follows us, phenomenal job on that event, pulling it together in such short notice. So,
well, it's just it's remarkable. And you think, of course, that was such a unique season, but then to be able to turn that around and do it with no lead time was just amazing. And it was amazing in terms of the venue that the Alumni Association was able to to put together. But you think of how many people were able to get down in such short notice for that. I mean, that is big time. And that's what a big time university does. That's what a big time alumni association does. It's what a big time athletic department does, is really rise to the occasion. I mean, they met the moment. Our football team did, in terms of the season that they had that year. And then in terms of being able to celebrate in the you know, that success and put together the show that our fans and our followers deserved. And no different than the WNIT this year in terms of what the athletic department was able to do to be able to continue to meet the moment as we continued to win. It's amazing. Game day is the same way. I mean, our ability to meet the moment, I think it'll be the same way with a campaign to raise $500 million, is I think people will meet that moment. Because again, we believe in sort of this vision. We believe what we can accomplish, that we will. And so I don't sell this university and the people short on anything. Put a challenge in front of us, and we're going to reach that and exceed that.
Hey, there we go. I have just a couple of planned questions left for Steve. So if you do have questions, get them in the box here. So, you know, like you said, you were a student at SDSU, then came back to work with the foundation. Kind of through that span, what are some of your favorite Jackrabbit memories that you have?
Well, I graduated in 1985, and that was the year of the where we went to the national championship game. We unfortunately lost in that championship game, and that was Mark Tetzloff's senior year. And that basketball season was just incredible, and to be able to follow them and the game we had against Cal State Hayward in Frost Arena, where I think there was 10,000 plus people there. It was just an amazing experience. And to see them again come within just a hair of winning a national championship. But that is one that really, really stands out. On a personal note, you know, I worked on the Collegian. Some of my greatest friends were from that time. I was editor, ended up marrying my managing editor. So my wife, Michelle, and I met there. We are coming up on our 37th or 36th anniversary. So that certainly was pretty fond memory in terms of the people that I got to meet through student media, and of course met my wife had three kids, and none of them, the ingrates that they are, none of them came to South Dakota State, but they all made good choices for their college. But those are a few, and it's a thrill to be able to come back in 2004 to be able to work and be a part of a South Dakota State, and just to hit it at the right time. I mean, again, the things that Peggy Miller, you know, the foundation she laid, and then what President Shequin picked up, what President Dunn has picked up. You know, I don't think there's a better job around than the one I've got working for South Dakota State and trying to raise the resources and work along with a great team of 47 other people and the Alumni Association and Athletic Department to raise money to do great things for South Dakota State. I don't think there's could possibly have a better job than doing it, and being an alum of this place is just kind of a cherry on top of all of that.
Yeah, that I mean, I agree. Like, when my time working at SDSU, absolutely loved it. moved here to Minnesota just to be a little closer to my wife's family and stuff. But not a day goes by where I don't think about the Jackrabbits or SDSU for some reason.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I met my wife there as well. And my kids and I, when we parked on the west side of the student union and were able to walk through the union to Frost for the WNIT. And I was able to point out, you know, where I met their mom and stuff. And so they thought that was pretty funny, but lots of special memories. And I think everyone that obviously tunes into this podcast or comes on live in the stream has their very own memories that make SDSU a special place to them. So,
yeah. You know, we always worried, Matt, we always worried when we're new buildings were going up and really the physical look of campus was changing with new buildings and renovated buildings. We always wondered, would people come back and feel like they didn't belong because the campus had changed so much? And what we found actually was just the opposite. We had people had such an enormous pride to come back to their university. I'm sure they would have loved to have had the wellness center and the performing arts center and to go to a football game at Dykehouse Stadium when they were students. But it wasn't, people weren't saying, I wish they would have had this when I was here in a negative tone. They're just proud of the university to see what's become of it. And so those old memories you got, you know, maybe some buildings have changed and a few of those things, but those memories, the people you met and everything, that's really what that college experience is about. You know, maybe you don't always meet your spouse, but lifelong friends that you get to meet. And that's what makes it really special when people come back. They think about those people who made a difference in their life and frankly are to this very day some of their best friends. And they met them because they went to South Dakota State.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right. No more questions. We have a shy bunch tonight. Anything else you'd like to add, Steve, before we close her out here? Anything that folks should know?
No, I think obviously, you know, our campaign Bold and Blue is really about, we want a lot of people to participate. We have a $500 million goal. We're about 80% of our goal and it's just been remarkable in terms of the response to it. And it really is about giving everyone a chance. Every dollar that people invest in South Dakota State really does matter. It's a good chance to be a part of something really big. Again, this university is going to be transformed by what we do in this campaign, and because it's supporting athletics, it's supporting academics, there are going to be some buildings built, but there's really not going to be a corner of our campus that's not going to be touched by the dollars we raise in this campaign. So I appreciate the opportunity to be with you. I really do appreciate you, the time you and the other members of your team dedicate to this. It is, you know, to take advantage of this medium that we have to create that dialogue and inform people and let them know what's going on really does. It helps our job. It helps Andy's job at the Alumni Association, because the people that follow you and the people that are listening to you and following you through Twitter and Facebook and everything else, they're more engaged. They're more informed about what's happening at South Dakota State, and they tell people and they brag about their university to people. And that makes our job easier when people are as excited and proud of their university as they are. So I appreciate the time and everything you do to make this thing go.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Steve. I appreciate that. This is the best hobby that I could have probably. So awesome. Well, thanks everyone. And with that, go big, go blue, go Jacks.
Thanks, Matt. Take care.
Hey, yeah.